Welcome to Terry Nazon Talks Astrology. Hi, I'm Terry Nazon, celebrity astrologer and psychic, and I want to welcome everyone to my live call-in radio show, Terry Nazon Talks Astrology. We have a great show prepared for you this evening that's both entertaining and interesting. A special guest of mine will be Art Crawford, the renowned financial astrologer. He's going to talk about all of this doom and gloom predictions that I know that you all hear so much about the ancient Mayan prediction that the world is going to end at 2012, and his own well-thought-after outlook and predictions. He's recognized the world over for his uncanny acumen. He's one of the most sought-after speakers in the astrology world today, and has been profiled in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Forbes, just to name a few. And you can visit his website at www.crawfordperspectives.com. I'm really looking forward to speaking to him. I know he has some very unique perspectives on what's going to happen into the world, so just keep that in mind. He's going to be with us shortly. And like usual, there's whenever you get two astrologers in the same room, there's always going to be differences of opinion, which I totally embrace. This is going to be a provocative show, and I hope it gets everyone talking. I hope it gets other astrologers looking at the stars more intently and more closely and making their own predictions about these very important future events. Even beginning astrologers or students of astrology will find Arch's insights food for thought. And it's undisputed that he has a record of not only being right, but making really accurate predictions. And since we are currently living in such changing times, and the planets are aligned and aligning in such a way that it's almost impossible not to comment on them. So I'm going to make my own little comments and predictions here. And I'm talking basically about the period from about August on when we have a full moon eclipse in the sign of Aquarius. It's also a month that sees two new moons. The second new moon is at 7 degrees Virgo, which I am going to take as giving importance to Saturn's transit, which just comes out of a shadow at 8 degrees. On the day of the full moon eclipse, ushering in a whole new energy that is dynamic and full of intrigue. It's my opinion that you can't take any individual planetary event and predict, so I always look at the degree, and then I try to look a little backwards and a little forwards to try to get the underlying feel. I look at the eclipse at 24 degrees Aquarius in the month of August, and then I'm going to look for other planets' points at that degree, believing more in the flow of events and the layers of events. What do I see? I relate that full moon eclipse in August to the moon's lunar nodes. The north node is at 24 degrees in Aquarius on May 2nd, just before Saturn goes direct, which takes my attention further back to July 20th, 2007, when Saturn transited at 24 degrees Leo, which is opposing the sign of Aquarius. Now, that eclipse in August does set the stage for some interesting happenings, like, terrorist attacks, sort of the theme of fear in the world, in areas that I believe where these attacks will fall in the month of August, possibly London, Tokyo. I took my predictions for the elections of 2008 will be that there will be another attempt to steal the election. Again, the backdrop is fear. I would even go so far as to say something akin to perhaps a biological warfare, an attempt to unleash an epidemic on the population. Worst case scenario, assassination attempts like we lived through in the 60s. And I don't think it's going to get too far, though, and I do feel, and I will predict here, that I feel Hillary will win the election, and I also feel Obama's chances will be hurt by a scandal or sudden turn of events. I know you've seen on my website that I always say I feel there's going to be another revolution. But looking back, we've already seen a revolution, the 60s revolution, which was fueled by the baby boomers in the 60s. Pluto was in Virgo in the 60s, and Saturn was in Capricorn. The whole woman's lib and the fight for black rights were topics then, as well as spiritual freedom and free love, which I think got its fuel from the assassinations of those old enough to remember John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Bobby Kennedy. So it seems now that there is both a black candidate and a female candidate, and we are coming full circle from the civil injustices of the 60s. Perhaps that's what all this collective angst is about, now that we're all feeling this kind of like fear because we're getting so close to what was worked so hard for in the 60s, these civil injustices. My guest this evening, now that all that is said and done and I've depressed you well enough. My guest this evening is Arch Crawford, the esteemed Wall Street financial astrologer, and Arch is going to give us his thoughts and predictions about the United States and the world economy. And don't forget to visit his website at www.crawfordperspectives.com. His name is Arch Crawford. He's very well known in the financial fields. In fact, if you were a Wall Street analyst or a Wall Street investor, you would really know Arch very well. He has a very popular newsletter that keeps everyone up to date on the financial ins and outs and the astrology of it all. And I'd like to welcome Arch to my show, and I also want to wish him a happy birthday. And he is so kind to come on our show, which really shows his warmth and his genuine sincerity to come here on our show on his birthday, making this day an even more special day. Welcome, Arch.
Well, it's all rolled into one, isn't it? Tax
day,
we got through tax day. Now we got to get through the birthday.
Arch, I know that speaking to you, I know that you have some wonderful opinions and you've made some really good predictions, and you have a history of making predictions that come true, so we have to kind of take a look at what you say sometimes. Just to start us off, I'd like to talk a little bit about this Mayan prediction of the year 2012 when the world is supposed to end. What are your views?
Well, I'm not the expert on this particular thing. I did look at it briefly, and there does seem to be a complex group of planets are over close to each other, but it's nothing anywhere near as specific and powerful as the harmonic convergence date. If you remember, the harmonic convergence was indicated by Arguelles, who wrote a book about it, as August the 17th of 1987. And I looked at that date. I didn't see anything terribly important in the sky, but I kept looking forward, and 1 week later, we had the tightest five-body conjunction in at least 800 years that I checked. And I said, that's the day the Mayans were talking about, not the 17th, but the 24th. And I wrote in my newsletter, this market will peak out, will top on August the 24th, give or take 3 days, after which we will have a horrendous crash. And the high close on the Dow Jones that year was August 24th, and it proceeded to have a crash right after. It started dropping and dropped into the solar eclipse on the fall equinox. I think it was September 22nd or 23rd of 87. And on that morning, the market hit a new low, scared the traders terribly, and turned around and had the biggest up day in history, followed by 2 weeks of rally into, at the top of that rally, we had the worst earthquake in Southern California in at least 7 years, which was probably touched off by the lunar eclipse of October 6th, and that was the biggest down day in history in points. Certainly not in percentage, but in points on the Dow Jones, and started the slide into the actual crash, which took place on the 19th and early on the 20th.
Interesting, and that's the kind of stuff that you can read about in Arch's newsletter. Now, do you see anything even coming close to those kind of planetary alignments this year, given that this is an election year and everybody is so worried about the economy? Anything coming close to this doom and gloom and foreboding?
Well, first let me say on the 2012 date, I think Bruce Schofield has written a couple of books about that, and he's probably much more of an expert. He says this is like a 31,000-year cycle, and, you know, it could be 5,000 years off one way or the other, and it would certainly take a decade to work into it and a decade to work out of it. So I'm only predicting it from one other standpoint that's terribly interesting. What we have coming up this fall, I'm sure you've noticed the strangeness of the first pass of the Saturn-Uranus opposition is going to be exactly on election day.
Oh, And Mars squares Neptune.
And Mars squares Neptune. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
And
well,
it's a major T-square with George Bush's, a major grand square with George Bush's north and south nodes in Uranus. He's kind of stuck on something. It's sort of strange.
I'm very concerned that one thing George Bush has done, and that is by executive order, he's made all of these laws that in this kind of emergency or that kind of emergency or almost any kind of emergency, he can become a total dictator. And I'm concerned that he may not want to turn that over to the Democrats, so that there may be another false flag 9/11 event that is an emergency, and then he says, well, I'm assuming the powers, emergency powers that have just been voted in the last 6 or 8 years, and we can't have an election this year.
You know what? It's interesting to note, because obviously there's something in his chart that he has gotten away with in the past, okay, because his nodes, his north node is conjoining Uranus in the 11th house, his south node is in Sagittarius in the 5th house, and Uranus is squaring in the 8th house. And whenever I see a square like that and involves the 8th house, I'm saying that's the kind of person who will do anything, with what I call a do anything, you know, because they got a lot of energy to at their disposal, and they're compelled by, you know, circumstances, people around them. In his case, you know, it's the 11th house of business profits or friends, okay? he's compelled to do anything. But on that election date, he is stopped because Saturn is opposing your Uranus, like you say, but it's opposing, it's also filling out a T-square with his north and south node. I don't see an outlet for the energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, there may be an attempt, and then he may be deposed. And he may be deposed. And, you know, his he was elected first in the year of the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction, which every 20 years, every Jupiter-Saturn conjunction that occurred in an Earth sign has resulted in the death of the president sometime in office. That's 7 out of 7. And the thing is that
it would be unusual that this falls on the election day. But let me ask you something. In the case of a self-inflicted death, because I'm looking at the 11th house Uranus, the 8th house, and sometimes we see that in suicide.
Well, I can't imagine that unless he's when people are power hungry, it may be made to look like a suicide.
It may be made to look like a suicide. You're right.
But I don't know. That's a difficult.
Well, all I have to say is, should the election go through, and should somebody else, a Democrat, take office, I can almost, because of the way that the South Node is just whipping around back into his 12th house, and back up there squaring up with his 11th house over the next 2 years. He will be called to task on something. He will be called to task on something, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you are listening to Terry Nazon Talks Astrology. This is my live radio show on the BBS station, and we are going to be here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And you can call in if you'd like to ask us a question at 888-228-4494, 877-489-6350. If you have a question you'd like to ask me or my guest, the financial astrologer, Arch Crawford. And again, we're very happy to have him here. It is his birthday. He was so kind to come on my show, on my very first flagship show on the BBS networks. And you would like to ask Arch a question about what he thinks about the future of the economic outlook for the United States or the world, 888-228-4494. Now, Arch, since we touched on the elections, you said you weren't going to make a prediction on the election.
Well, I already said what I wanted to about that I was afraid that we may have a false flag event and may not have an election. Otherwise, I have not looked astrologically at the other contestants right now, it looks like Obama's contestants. Right now, it looks like Obama is leading, but the Clinton machine can be. They have a situation called the kitchen sink where they throw everything at the guy, and it's every piece of dirt they can find about some.
I saw a scandal for Obama. And I think we have a caller on the line. Is that right? Nope, maybe not.
Hello?
Again, you. Hello?
Yes? Hello?
Yes, who's this?
This is
Jill. Do you have a question that you would like to ask Arch Crawford?
No, it's not a financial question. The question I want to ask is regarding the return. And it's about a full moon and a full return. What does that indicate?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear her. Did you hear her? It's about a full moon
and your solar return, a full moon and your solar return. What does it indicate?
Did you hear her?
She said if there's a full moon in your solar return, what does that indicate?
Well, I suppose that indicates a sort of a pivotal year that you're going to have. Maybe even a step up or a step down in life that the whole chart would have to be looked at for that. And I thank you for calling. Now, back to our questions and our predictions here for Arch Crawford. If you have a question, it doesn't necessarily have to be about, financial markets, but that is your level, your expertise. Arch, on that note, do you take private clients?
Basically, I've had my stock market newsletter. It predicts the stock market, the gold market, the bonds, interest rates, and the dollar for 31 years this May. And what I'm looking for in the general stock market this year is that we may have just made a bottom in the market, and we may drift upwards and sideways into the summer, but I believe that this fall we will have a terrible crash, maybe as bad as 1987, maybe worse. But it should be an international event, and it will hurt the dollar a great deal. We've had the dollar has been losing power relative to other currencies for the last 20 years, and it's been losing buying power since the Federal Reserve was actually founded in 1913. So we've lost like 99% of the value of the purchasing power of a dollar since 1913, and we've lost the dollar index has gone down from over 120 down to 71, which is 50 points on 120 is a lot.
Yeah.
So the logical
aspect suggests to you that there's going to be another stock market crash in the fall.
Well, two things. In particular, the Saturn-Uranus opposition is not going to be good for business anywhere in the world. But the fact is that we're having the relationship between Mars and Uranus every 2 years has a window of opportunity where a crash could occur, and if we're having a setup for it in the technical market indicators or in the fundamentals of business, then that's when it will happen. Well, all of this has been going down the last year about the subprime in the property and in the price of real estate and and many other it's spread to many different areas of business. They're concerned now that it will affect consumer loans other than property, that it might be credit cards, and it might be car loans that might be the next level that are hit. Well, the setup is such that seems to me the headlines have already mentioned, we've already had the commercial paper market frozen literally frozen, that companies cannot go and get operating funds for the last 6 months. And this is will come to a head after Mars opposes Uranus in early August. And I believe that we will have the market crash sometime between August 6th of 08 and March the 31st of 09. That doesn't mean it's going to begin on August 6th and end on March 31st, just that somewhere in that period we will have one of the worst declines in the market averages, one of the worst 8 or 9 in the last 100 years.
And Arch, so many of my clients and listeners are worried about their homes losing value, and in some cases losing their homes outright. How is that going to affect the real estate market?
It's going to continue to get much, much worse, in my opinion, with the 3 passes of the Saturn opposition to Uranus. It's going to form a T-square, I believe, with Pluto during 2010, sometime during late 09 and into 2010, and I believe that will be the bottom of one of the worst depressions the world has ever seen, where we have Saturn opposite Uranus square to Pluto.
Well, I said he was going to be provocative. I said you were going to, hear what Wall Street analysts hear, and you are hearing it with Arch Crawford of Crawford Perspectives. You can visit his website at www.crawfordperspectives.com, and you can sign up for his newsletter, and you can get exact dates, and he can guide you through the market, guide you through investments and what you should be doing with your money at any given time. And, of course, during difficult times, we always want to have a good captain at the helm. That's my thought. And, Arch, so you think that the real estate market is going to go down, too, because I thought sometimes that, you know, the stock market goes down, real estate goes up. It had an inverse relationship. That's not true, or it's not going to follow along those lines?
Well, money flows around, and it goes out of one thing and into another thing, of course. But we've had one bubble after another. We had the high-tech bubble in 99 and into 2000. And then we had but the big bubble is not even in the United States, but the whole world went to Japan to borrow money at 0.5%. And that money has been sloshing around in the world trying to find a place where it can be profitable. And that is what caused the bubbles. Now the bubbles, the air is coming out of the bubbles one after another. And I don't think that the central bankers will be able to keep all of the balls in the air.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And so now one of the things that one of the people who spoke on this was in late March or early April in 2000, Sir John Templeton was on CNBC, the financial station, and he had just sold out his mutual fund family very close to the top of the stock market, which was an excellent deal for him.
Right.
And he said on that interview with Maria Bartiromo that he thought housing would drop by 90% in the next few years.
Wow, interesting. And I just want to tell our listeners, you are listening to Terry Nazon Talks Astrology. This is our live call-in radio show on the BBS networks. If you would like to ask our esteemed guest, Arch Crawford, financial astrologer, a question, or myself, you can call in at 1-888-228-4494 or 1-877-489-6350. This is probably one of your chances to speak to Arch about what he feels about astrology. So again, Arch, I asked you, do you take private clients? If a client came to you and wanted you to help them invest their money, do you look at their charts and see where their money is going to be most lucrative for them? Do you do that sort of thing?
Actually, I do not. I do have private clients that come who want more detailed information on specific investments, and
I see, and
those are relative to the stock market, the gold market, the bond market, the interest rates, and the Well, I also keep an eye on oil, and that's, of course, a very popular investment right now. Now, one of the things I bought, recommended buying gold in the Crawford Perspectives newsletter, April the 4th of 2001. And the reason was that Jupiter was trine to Neptune at that time, and I thought that that would be a low in inflation. And it was. I bought the gold at 258. It is now 940-something, 941.
Wow.
Now it's getting to be a popular thing, and we're having a big move in the general commodities market. And I've been saying since 01 that you should be investing in countries, bonds of countries and currencies of countries with assets in the ground, such as Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. And if you're willing to take more geopolitical risk, Russia and South Africa. Now, the Russian stock market was the biggest up, I think, 2 years ago. But all of these things are going into the commodities market. People are losing faith in paper currencies, which have no backing anymore, just the promise of governments. And they're putting the money, whatever currency, into real things like gold, silver, platinum, uranium, oil. And now we are having this big rise in the agricultural commodities, partly due to the fact that we're putting so much corn into biofuels that it's causing a shortage of food around the world.
Wow. Interesting. So, you know, it sounds very interesting, but you've got me considering leaving the country.
Well, where would you go? This is we probably have more food than anybody. We probably have more food than anyone, and despite the fact that America always had 2 or 3 years worth of food stored in warehouses, and was the largest exporter, we are now net importing of food for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. So we were also the largest creditor nation at the end of World War II, and now we have set all kinds of records for being a debtor nation. And that's,
so
I believe, why the dollar's dropping.
My deliberation about moving out of the country has to be, do I want to eat or do I want to be rich?
Well, I think the United States is probably as good a place to be as any, maybe Switzerland, maybe some friends of mine have moved to Costa Rica and South America, and but I don't know where to run to, and this, I think, is going to be a world situation, and major problems here and there.
Well, it's not going to matter where you are. You're going to be affected.
I'm not sure. I don't know if it matters a lot. It's just that I don't know where to go. I'm staying here. And
given all that, what do you see for 2009 then? Once we have our elections underway, do you see 2009, apart from the fact that, you know, Saturn and Uranus are going to be opposing, you know, three different times?
Well, I think the three different times is going to be quite devastating, and especially when it has the Pluto square forming a T-square with them. And that'll be a world depression. As far as, I think we're going to be as well off here as anywhere for food. And as for being rich, Richard Russell is another old hand writer in the stock market, and he says, in a bear market, it's not who wins the most, it's who loses the least.
That's interesting. And my guest this evening is Arch Crawford, the esteemed Wall Street financial astrologer, and he has been doing what he is doing forever. 31 years, Arch?
Well, I was watching the stock market for a lot longer than that. I started watching it when I was 13 and trading when I was 14. When I was 20, I became the first ever assistant to the man who became the top technical analyst on Wall Street for
most of his career.
At Merrill Lynch, Robert Farrell.
Yeah. I remember. And
so, and I didn't start my newsletter until years after that, but I was still there when the Wall Street Journal came out with a story on the front page about people using astrology in the stock market to predict. And that's what got me interested in it, was this article that came out the 16th of April, the day before my birthday in 1963.
Wow. And that's when you got hooked on applying astrology. How long have you been interested in astrology? Was that what fueled it, or were
you an avid learner
before then?
Well, I had a mild interest in it before that, but nothing major. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd bought one book on it years ago, which was like in a 1930s book by Alan Leo about sun and moon combinations. And,
yeah. And I saw on your website that
Heaven Knows What was the name of the book. And I had that before, but otherwise I hadn't done any work on it myself.
I saw on your website that you embrace, people learning about this and because you give a whole list of books that you recommend for learning and for people to, open up their minds and kind of read and get interested and learn about predicting through astrology, financial, and world and current events. So do you have these books available on your website?
Only a couple of them are actually available through me. The best one that I like on financial astrology is called Financial Astrology, and it's by Lieutenant Commander David Williams. He wrote a pamphlet in about 1955 or so called Astroeconomics, and he later expanded that into this major book called Financial Astrology. The other one that I appreciate the most, I think he wrote that in about 1982 or 3. And there was one by Donald Bradley in 1948, I believe, called Stock Market Prediction, which is just a 58-page pamphlet, mm-hmm. which I recommend highly. In terms of understanding astrology and its effect on the world and on the sun particularly, which has its effects on the world, John Nelson was a radio propagation specialist for Radio Corporation of America, and they gave him the job of predicting when the sunspots were going to hit and destroy shortwave radio communication. And he tried everything and got fairly good using regular cyclical methodologies, but he could not get the numbers up to what he thought he should be able to do. So someone said, well, why don't you look at the planetary alignments around the sun mm-hmm. to be able to predict when the sunspots occur and when the magnetic storms will hit the Earth. And he had no interest whatsoever in astrology, but he decided to take the 13 worst magnetic storms on the Earth on record at RCA Corp, and he drew the charts with the sun in the middle as opposed to your birthplace in the middle. Mm-hmm. He put the sun in the middle, and was amazed to find tremendous numbers of harmonic relationships among the planets when the sunspots kicked off.
Now, you just said something very interesting, which I think the listeners are going to could help them. You said to predict world events, you had to look at the planetary aspects to the sun. Is that what you meant by that?
No. It's predicting the sunspot cycle. The sunspots hit the Earth and cause magnetic storms, which throw off.
But it was before that. But let me ask you. So, predicting world events, do you use the sun as, like, you're predicting world events so you would see what's going on with the sun and what aspects, planetary aspects, are with the sun? Is that it?
Yes and no. I look at everything. David Williams used sun-centered astrology mostly in his book because it cut out the difficulty of calculating the direct and retrograde movements of the planets. However, I look at the the sun-centered, the heliocentric charts. I look at the earth-centered charts in two ways. The ways astrologers look at them is through ecliptic longitude, and the way astronomers look at it are along the equatorial latitude. And so I look at all of those plus declinations, and any major event in any of those systems will cause major events on the Earth, or at least trigger them. I hesitate to use the word cause because a lot of that is not understood.
So I know that my listeners just had a lot of information thrown at them, and they can see why we are not financial astrologers and you are. Is there, so I just want to tell my listeners one more time that, you know what, this is Arch Crawford. He is a preeminent Wall Street financial astrologer, and he's been doing what he's doing for a great many years. And it's one thing to be an astrologer. It's another to have a standing record of predictions and accurate predictions. Do you want to give us a little, I'm not saying toot your own horn, but maybe tell our listeners the predictions that you have made in the past that either helped your clients or helped people?
Well, when I started the newsletter in 1977, the first few years, Joseph Granville, who's still alive and still publishing his newsletter, did something that nobody's ever done before or since. He predicted the turning points of the market 10 times in a row, bottom, top, bottom, top, bottom, top, within 2% of the bottom and top.
Wow.
During that same period, I made the same predictions he made from 3 days to 2 weeks ahead of him, but not always at better prices. And one of my 10 calls lost 40 Dow Jones points, where his was profitable. So he did 10 in a row, 1977 to 82. I did 9 in a row, of those same calls correctly, not always at better prices than with
and
Joe, who's still a good friend.
That you've made that you were really proud of?
Well, the one that made that 9 out of 10 was quite extraordinary. Then my name was made in Wall Street when I predicted the top day in 1987 and that the market would crash after that. Since then, I have made many predictions. I have to have a newsletter every month, and some of them have had some rather spectacular outcomes. For instance, I predicted, actually some of these things were not market related, but I predicted the day the Challenger exploded in 1986, within 3 days of the time that the Chernobyl exploded on a lunar eclipse conjunct Pluto.
Interesting.
Any
prediction that you would like to share with us?
Well,
other than, you know, all right, the market's going to crash. Ladies, cash out your IRAs. All right, what else?
Well, one other thing, I predicted the day that Saddam Hussein attacked Kuwait, and that was a lunar eclipse forming a grand cross with Mars opposing Pluto. I mean, any astrologer would look at that. And what I said is, this will be one of the worst days of the century. There will be coercion, the use of force, a large explosion, and heartlessness or cruelty, August the 2nd to the 7th, 1990. And he attacked Kuwait on August the 2nd unexpectedly. So,
very interesting.
What else may be coming up is the market drop somewhere between August and next March. Some difficulty because of that Saturn-Uranus opposition around the election, and possibly further legal difficulties with having the election and its outcome like we did in 2004.
Yeah.
And also the Saturn opposition to Uranus will be deflationary, where we've had these things that are bringing the price of oil and gold and commodities up. This three passes of the Saturn opposition to Uranus will bring the prices down, but that's because people will not have the money to buy these things. there will be a tremendous lack of money. And that's the thing that the Federal Reserve fears here. They fear deflation worse than the inflation that it's that they're creating, because the deflation can get into a cycle, damaging cycle, and prices go down and down and down. And the last time we had that in a major way, well, we had it somewhat in the mid-70s, and it was the worst recession we'd had since the Depression. But in the Depression, you know, there were 25% unemployment, and at that time, those people who were employed were not just men and women. It was just heads of households who were employed, and 25% of them were out of work. That's an incredible figure.
Now, my next topic, and again, I just want to tell the viewers that you are listening to Terry Nason Talks Astrology. I'm Terry Nason, celebrity astrologer, and welcome everybody to my live call-in radio show. If you do have a question for myself or Arch Crawford, the financial astrologer, you can call 1-888-228-4494, 1-877-489-6350. Now, this is very compelling stuff, and I know that even in this short period, we have just laid out a tremendous amount of information and predictions for everyone to kind of like absorb. It's almost overwhelming almost. Now, my whole thing is this Pluto in Capricorn, and the fact that in 1770, that was the last time Pluto was in Capricorn. How do you feel about that, Pluto in Capricorn?
I try to stick to my specialty, but I did send out to my friends, relatives, and some clients a little clip on YouTube that had Michael Luton, who is an astrologer in New York, and he did the American Airlines horoscope magazine in their magazine. But Michael said that Pluto going into Capricorn would be government intrusion into the lives of the people, and that would get worse and worse and worse until Uranus comes into Aries in, what is it, 09 or 10, that would cause a revolution to start here, as well as other places in the world that would be against the government intrusions.
So it sounds like we are in for quite a number of exciting yet difficult years where we have to kind of like get our stuff together. And I know that even though Arch sounds very technical, the financial markets, I know that you're a very spiritual person. So why is all this happening? Why do
many New Age people, or people who are becoming aware, are feeling that something is coming upon the earth that is very unusual, and some of us believe that it may lead to an evolutionary leap, and that we may all start becoming psychic or hearing each other's voices in our minds and things like that, and that a great many of people will go crazy and die from that, and those who survive it will be the next level up on the evolutionary ladder. So it may be that the hardships that are coming on the earth in terms of the economics and food and politics may put enough pressure on us to break through the next level of mental, emotional resistance that would make us much more free and open and spiritual on the other side of it. I'm praying that that's so. That's my fantasy at this point.
Well, and you know what? And that's what I was saying, is that this is perhaps a collective angst, you know, that, you know, we have to, like, break through these fears.
Yes.
You know? Because whenever you're fearful, you know, that's when you give others the opportunity to capitalize on you, and perhaps that's where all the oppression, you know, revolutions happen because of oppression. You know, that's the bottom line. They happen because people are unhappy, and if people don't feel that they're being governed well, and they can't make enough money, and they still have to pay taxes, and nothing else has changed, Yeah, it sets the stage for a real revolution, in fact, it does.
Well, one of the things that is setting up here is that the baby boomers are starting to draw Social Security.
Yeah.
And our government is totally broke already, and the taxes are going to increase whoever gets in this next time. So the younger generation may have a much higher level of tax just to keep alive the older generation on Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. Medicare and Medicaid are much bigger than Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And
that
may be a revolution of the younger people against the older people, even just here.
And sort of like in the 60s, it was, sort of a revolution, against not just social injustice, but civil rights, black rights, women's rights. And so it would seem that, there would be some sort of like a rebellion against, you think it would be a rebellion against the baby boomers themselves? Is that what you're saying?
No, the fact of the economic...
My kids are not involved in it.
The economic burden that this will be on the backs of the younger people.
Yeah.
Not against the boomers themselves, but the fact that they're drawing government checks, which the younger people are having to pay for with greater and greater chunks of their income.
Well,
let me say this about how we've lived our lives so far. Those of us with any age on us at all have just lived through the best period of time in the best place in all of written history.
Yeah.
We've had homes that have been warm in the winter and cool in the summer and enough to eat every day of our lives. And this is very rare. We've had indoor plumbing and comforts that kings could not have imagined 200 years ago.
That is true. And 200 years is not that long of a time when you think about how old the planet is.
No, I mean, plumbing just became a big thing in the United States in the 1900 to 1920, and electricity the same, and the telephones. All of these things came about about 100 years ago.
And women's rights, right to vote only is within the last 75 to 80 years. So we're not as civilized as we like to imagine ourselves all the time. That's for sure. And,
right, but what I'm saying is that we've lived with the greatest comfort of anyone on the planet at any time in written history. I mean, there may have been Atlantis and there may have been Lemuria, but we don't have written histories of those.
No, that's true. Absolutely. And you are listening to Terry Nazon Talks Astrology and my guest, Arch Crawford. I want to remind everyone to go to his website at www.crawfordperspectives.com, which is the name of your newsletter, isn't it?
Crawford Perspectives, yes.
Yep. And you can sign up and subscribe to his very popular newsletter, and you too can benefit from these predictions and have access to the kind of information that typically only Wall Street investors or analysts have access to. Again, www.crawfordperspectives.com. And if you have a question, we have a few minutes left, not too much time to take very many questions. If you have a question that you would like to ask him or you'd like to ask me, 888-228-4494 or 877-489-6350. On a landline, 530-776-5154. This is Arch Crawford, financial astrologer, and you have heard tonight him make some very provocative predictions. You can agree, you cannot agree. If you don't agree, then you know what? You need to look at the astrology and you need to come up and make your own predictions. He's given you the reasons why he sees the things that he sees, and without a doubt, as we get into August, the planets and the planetary alignments do get a bit dicey, let's say. And so it does set the tone or the scene for, people to be compelled or pushed to do extreme things. Okay, so again, this is Arch Crawford, of Crawford perspectives, and he's got an uncanny insight, and he's got a track record to prove that his predictions do come true. So I think we all need to prepare ourselves, not in a state of fear, but when we know that change is going to happen, we just need to prepare ourselves accordingly. Right, Arch? What would you suggest that we do as we are staring down, you know, these inevitabilities?
Well, one of the big problems that's coming up is water shortages worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So keep a little extra water on hand. The Mormons have to keep 2 years' worth of food available to them in their pantry or garage. I think that's not a bad idea, just in case, you know, this thing with the food prices keeps going up and it may be very tight shortages in some places at some times.
Would you say to invest or keep our money in the bank, put our money in real estate? What should we be doing with our little bit of extra cash that we have? Certainly not spending it, right?
Well, I have my 401k in the double short RIDEX fund in the NASDAQ, which means that I'm betting heavily on the downside in the market.
Now, what is that called?
It's a bear fund, a fund that goes up when the stock market goes down. There's only two or three families that have such a fund. One is RIDEX Corporation in Maryland, I believe it is.
R-I-D-E-X?
R-Y-D-E-X.
Okay.
And there's another one, I forget the name of that other one, that has bearish funds. Then David Tice has something called a bear fund. What is this? Tice, T-I-C-E. You can Google him, and it's a...
So you're saying with a little bit of extra money, we shouldn't be going out buying designer things. We should be putting a little bit in these RIDEX funds that go against the market, correct?
Yes. And I think this may be a minimum like $5,000 on those things, but I believe that they will pay off over the next 2 to 3 years in a big way. My own... The bear fund on the NASDAQ, from the first quarter, my 401k was up 31%.
Wow. So there you have it. You just got a major tip as to where you should be putting your money right now from Arch Crawford, the financial astrologer, recognized the world over for his uncanny predictions that do come true. Again, visit www.crawfordperspectives.com to sign up for his newsletter so that you can be privy to this kind of information, which is going to become more and more necessary for us in the very near future. So if you think right now it's a tough time, no, you need to start preparing for, you know, even tougher times. But life will go on. There's always layers of life happening. And again, you're listening to Terry Nazon Talks Astrology, and I'm Terry Nazon, celebrity astrologer and psychic. You can visit my website at www.terrynazon.com. And you know, I always and every day and for the last 18 years, I've always given away the free natal birth charts. It's very important that you have your natal birth chart, that you understand it, and that you learn more about astrology. Arch, you know, where do you see the future of astrology?
Well, I figure that in times of turmoil on the earth, more and more people look for answers. So
yeah.
I think there's that all of the psychic sciences will become more and more sought after. There is a man here at the University of Arizona named Gary Schwartz, who has a laboratory at the university where he evaluates psychics.
Wow.
And he's written a book. He's written two or three books on the subjects.
So you are suggesting, if I understand you correctly, that people begin developing their psychic intuitive abilities and their astrology acumen. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like another New Age phenomena that's coming. Is that what I'm hearing? It's going to be to become more spiritual, to develop more level of spirituality, and that is going to be what people should be trying to do right now. Is that correct?
Well, absolutely, yes. Now, you know, some people...
1987, after that crash, you know, I was a stockbroker at Shearson and Lehman Brothers, and after that crash in 1987, you know, a couple years later, that's when I started my career as an astrologer.
Really? How about that? Well, that was certainly a powerful alignment. It was five bodies within the Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars were in two and a quarter.
That's when I started making money as an astrologer, supporting my family as an astrologer, making predictions. Because up until that point, I was afraid to make predictions. I wouldn't make a prediction unless I could be 100% sure it came true. So,
and nobody can be 100% sure.
Nobody can be 100%, so you see my fear, right? So... that I love what you're saying. So underneath all of this current of doom and gloom, the answer here is to become more spiritual. I love it.
Yes. Well, I mean, Christianity has gotten a bad rap here of the last few years with fundamentalists who are against astrology. They don't realize that the Bible is an astrological textbook.
More than 4,500 references to astrology in the Bible.
Well, some of them are negative, but some of them, a lot of the stories are 100% astrological.
Yeah,
for instance,
and especially when you read it in the Hebrew.
Right. And if you, like Moses is the astrological type of the Aries, and he was found floating in the river, and the first sub-decan of Aries is the river. And all of the things he did, he was a hothead and he killed a man and had to escape into the desert. The desert is representative of the fire and the fire signs. And many of the things that he did through his life were typical of an Aries, whereas the Taurus was the strong like the bull, Samson. And Samson fought a lion. You know, the lion in the sky is square to Taurus, which is the bull.
Exactly.
So he fought the lion. And Taurus also rules the hardworking bees. And there was something about the bees made honey out of the carcass of the lion.
Yeah.
And his wife was a Scorpio who turned on him.
Now so that you're talking about... the Bible, what do you think is going to happen with organized religion?
Considering that the Pope's birthday is yesterday, and he's here for it.
I'm talking about the Judaism, I'm talking about the Islam, I'm talking about, very tight religious. I predict that's one of the things that's going to have to be, taken into consideration with this Pluto in Capricorn, too. I think that's going to be part of the revolution and part of the oppression, too. Again, our hour is just about up, and I thank you for listening to Terry Nazan Talks Astrology, and I'm Terry Nazan, Celebrity Astrologer. Visit my website at www.terrynazan.com. If you didn't get a chance to get to speak to Arch or myself, again, you can visit his website at www.crawfordperspectives.com. Sign up for his newsletter. This is hot stuff. This is rock and roll astrology. And visit my website, of course, at www.terrynazan.com. Until next Thursday, when we will be here again, I thank you for listening. And thank you, Arch, for coming on board on my new show with the BBS Radio.
My pleasure.
Thank you.